You can't earn the favor of God. It is the grace of God, the blessings of God, that have no limits to it. Our God is a God of no restriction. When God said he'll bless you, there is no limit to the blessing that he will bestow upon you.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's continue in this series entitled Blessed and Highly Favored. This is part two from that series, The Power of the Blessing. Let's go into the message today with Pastor Rogers.
To do anything otherwise is to bring destruction upon America. Abraham then passed this blessing to his son Isaac, who then passed the blessing to his son Jacob, who Jacob then passed it to his 12 sons. And that was in just the Old Testament, and there's many more blessings that were handed down from generation to generation. But it didn't stop there. Let me just add this caveat for you. 80% of all of the Pulitzer Prize-winning individuals in that list, 80% of them are Jewish. If you don't think the blessing hand of God is upon the Jewish people, you better wake up and think again. In the New Testament, the blessing does not stop. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11, the very first message that Jesus declared was the power of the blessing. Jesus spoke this blessing, and we are to be the recipients of it today. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. God said, I've sent this blessing out to remind you that there is a condition to this. As you seek me first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these blessings shall come upon you. And Deuteronomy 28 says, they won't just come upon you, but they will overtake you. I don't know if there's anybody in here or watching that needs that overtaking blessing, but if you do, you should lift your hand up and say, Lord, overtake me right here, right now. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 16, Jesus took the children in his arms, and the Bible said he blessed them. And he even identifies them with the kingdom of heaven, that your heart, your attitude, your life, your attributes should become as a little child if you expect to get into heaven. Releasing, listen to me, church, releasing the blessing upon your children is the best thing you could do every day when you lay your hands upon them and ask God's anointed protection upon their life. They're going to schools where they don't know what's coming in the door. They're going to their jobs. And listen to me, before you think you're too old enough to receive a blessing, would to God my parents were still here, I'd get down on my knees and say, Daddy, put your hands on my head and bless me one more time. Because the authority that is vested in the parents, God says, I've delegated that to you. And when you lay your hands on your children, and when you lay your hands on your wife to bless her, and when you lay your hands on your house and upon your finances, not only does God take that serious, but he said, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. What is that blessing? That blessing is not to let your kids run the streets for all hours of the night thinking that somehow they're grown enough to be able to live it. Your job as the parents is to train them, to nurture them, to instruct them, to guide them. parents are God's delegated authority, not the state, not the school system, not the government. The parents have been vested with the delegated authority, and I don't care what comes their way between me and the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, my children will stand behind me, and I will fight the fight of faith. Come on, somebody. No weapon formed against me and my house shall prosper. You need to tell them till they get it. They're not going to get it the first time. Hey, you didn't get it the first time. You've got to tell them, like Joshua, line them all up in the middle of the living room. Snatch the phone out of their hand in Jesus' name. Turn the television off and tell them, I want to declare something to you today. As for me and my house, we're all going to serve the Lord. It won't be an accident, my dear friend. As I declare this to you this morning, that the future of America is in the hands of parents who will teach godly principles to their children. And to fail to do that, we are witnessing right now the consequences of generations that have not known God. I grew up in a time in my elementary school years where the big red Holy Bible sat on the front right corner of the teacher's desk. Before it was outlawed, y'all. Before they said it became irrelevant and politically incorrect. But I want to tell you, if you lay your hands upon your children and teach them the principles of God's word, I don't care if the teacher's got one on her desk or a book from Darwin. When they walk into that school, everywhere they put their foot will be holy ground. And what do you mean by that? I mean, if the enemy tries to come in with some weapon, God will give them wisdom to do what they need to do when they need to do it, because no weapon formed against them. Come on now. I was in the company of somebody the other day. If you don't think that God's hand will be upon your children when you're not there, listen carefully. I was in the company the other day of a gentleman who flew in from Colorado, whose daughter was at Columbine High School the day that the shooters went in and took the lives of individuals like Cassie Bernal and others. He told me in just a few moments there, I just met the gentleman. He's coming into town for some celebration, he was, and I spoke to him for a little while, and he was telling me my daughter, he said, was there on that day. And when she arrived on the campus, she normally would have done, watch this, she normally would have done this and this, and she would have been outside with her two friends when the shooters walked up. But instead, on that day, she decided to go into the school of all days. She went into the school and did something, got some salad or something like that. And then she decided, instead of going to the library where most people were killed, she went to another part of the school. Does that make them better or worse than the people that were killed? No, my dear friend, because God knows all that's going on. And if you read the account of Cassie Bernal, who was saved in a Wednesday night youth group just a few weeks prior, y'all better hear me, whose parents didn't know Jesus Christ, but she was saved in that Wednesday night youth group, gave her life to Jesus Christ. She was prepared when he lowered the gun in her face and said, "To renounce Jesus Christ." And she said, "I cannot. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." He took her life on this earth, but her soul and spirit went into the... And I'm going to tell you, every time there's a martyr, the devil gets scared, because it's the seeds for another generation of revival upon this earth. He said she was there. He said we prayed over her every day. There's a difference that the parents have when they lay their hands upon a child. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? What was he saying? He was saying the same thing that rabbis have been saying since Numbers chapter 6. And he added some of the things that Jesus wanted to in Matthew chapter number 5 for us to have a clearer understanding. In Luke 24, the last thing that Jesus said before ascending into heaven when he spoke to his disciples was a blessing over his disciples. Listen to me. Write it down. When God blesses you, the Spirit or the blessing of the Lord will cover every area of your life, body, soul, and spirit. God doesn't leave anything out. That's the reason why he said in 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper," that's your physical, "and be in health," that's your soulish man, "even as your soul prosper," that's your spirit man on the inside. Body, soul, and spirit. Listen to me. Abundance and success start on the inside of a person, not on the outside. If God blesses you beyond your spiritual maturity, then that thing will become a god to you, like many people are serving today. Idols. Idols that they're worshiping today that cannot speak to them, cannot heal them, cannot bless them. If God blesses you beyond your spiritual maturity, your soul's prosperity, then, ladies and gentlemen, that thing will become a curse to you. God said, as you grow spiritually, you will be blessed according to your soul's development. So as I am here this morning receiving the word of God, God is adding faith to faith. He's growing me. I should be growing as I receive and conceive the word of God and then be able to use that this coming week. It's important for you to understand, you can have money and still be poor. It makes no difference where you are on the social status. I've gone to the houses where you can see the holes through the floor to minister to people, and I've gone to the houses where the carpet was 6 inches thick with their teenager laying face down crying because she was cutting herself. I will tell you, my friends, the devil knows no respecter of person, but God doesn't either. God said, I'll bless you whether you say you're poor or you say you're rich. If you'll give your life to me and obey the word of God, I will bless you coming in and bless you going out. Come on, say amen, somebody. I want you to understand what a real blessing looks like. Write this down, Proverbs 10 and 22. This is what a real blessing from God looks like. The Bible says there, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. So if you're calling something a blessing from God, but you're worried about how in the world you're going to pay for it, I don't care if it's a pair of shoes or a Maserati. If it's bringing sorrow into your life, don't call it a blessing from God. In fact, sell it. Get rid of it. Pastor, not my jet ski. See, I didn't say boat, y'all. I'm going to tell you, real blessings from God adds no sorrow. In fact, real blessings of God are spiritual. Hear me now. I'm blessed when I go and visit the hospital or the nursing home, or I see somebody hurting in pain on the streets, because I see how God's hand has been upon my life generationally. Somebody said, well, I just got saved. That's right. You're going to start a brand new cycle in your family because you gave your life to the Lord. Everybody coming after you is going to be the recipient if you'll walk in the favor and in the blessings of God. I wish I had a little help here this morning. See, I'm blessed more than I think I am. Say that with me. I'm blessed more than I think I am. Come on, help me preach a little bit. Pull out your little bony finger. You've been wanting to do this. Pull out your little first finger and just waggle it at somebody next to you and say, hey, you're blessed more than you think you are. That's right. You're blessed more than you think you are. You should stop complaining. You should stop looking down your nose. You should stop acting like you don't have anything. Are you sitting up in this building in your right mind? Did you walk in the door this morning on your own two legs? Did you lift your hands and open your mouth and bless the Lord? Did you be able to pay for a breakfast this morning? Do you have a job? Have you got a blessed family? Do you have clothes on your back and a roof over your head? Have you got shoes on your feet? Then you're blessed and highly favored. Stop complaining. Lift your head, open your mouth, and bless the Lord.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org. Or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.